Welcome back to the Better Than One Marriage Podcast, where two are better than one. They get a good reward for their labor. And if one was to fall, the other would be there to pick them back up. We are your hosts. I'm Ronald Corsi Jr.
And I am Chelsea Corsi.
And we are still married. It's been a long time coming, Chelsea. When you actually think of where we were when we first got together, and I'm just thinking spiritually, in that I was not replete of righteousness, but it was far from me. Yeah, replete. You like that. But it was far from me. It was not close. You know, any righteousness I had was cultural. It was not spiritual.
I mean, that's a bar.
Is it? Oh, yes. Cultural righteousness, Chelsea. It's not. It's not because you're seeking God and he's like, okay, let
cultural
me fix you.
Righteousness. That's a word.
Hey, well, you know, the Lord's been, you know, Chelsea, the Lord has been working mightily in me right now. I'll be honest with you. He's really been pouring out. And this is how I know. And this is a secret. I don't know if it's a secret. I've told you, but I haven't told anybody else, Chelsea, Not that, but this is the secret of, because sometimes what happens when you're with the Lord and at least you're alone and you're trying to, you know, pray and read the scripture, the Lord will put a word or a scripture on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's a normal scripture. Sometimes it's not.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, where's that coming from? Okay. And what happens is I flip the Bible open.
And it flips to it.
It flips right to it.
Yeah. That's
and I was like,
else.
Okay, so you're here on this one, Lord. All right. So I'm trying to hear what you have to say. And it happened this morning. And it happens every now and then. But it happened this morning where, it was a scripture that I really couldn't even remember in my mind, but he brought it to me and he said, how long will you falter between two opinions?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, yeah, how long will you falter? I had to look it up and see, you know, thank God for Google. Listen, Google is of the Lord.
Okay.
When I say Google is an angel, I don't care what y'all say. You can find a lot of stuff, but, you know, it's a lot of good stuff. If you don't know a scripture, that thing will, you get a couple words in there.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, yeah, that's scripture. But this is when Elijah is about to call down fire from heaven and more or less defeat the prophets of Baal and Asherah. And that this is before, this is when he tells Ahab, who was a heathen.
Like, my goodness, Ahab was a trip.
He was a heathen. And he says to Ahab, you know, I need you to call everybody to the mountain. And now they're gathered there. He says, how long will you falter between two different opinions?
Wow.
And really, an old King James says something like, how long will you, uses the word halt, which means to hop, skip. But I chose the word dance.
Mm-hmm.
How long will you dance between two opinions?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if Jehovah or Yahweh is God, then serve him.
Yeah.
But if Baal is, then him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes into, all right, now let's have this battle.
Yeah.
But it's just good to know, like, you know, just the presence of the Lord, man, is something that we can never take lightly, because when he's there, it's like, you know, he's there.
Yeah.
Like it's like some people say, like, get in here and throw your weight around. And sometimes he does, Jels.
Yeah, he does. No.
Yeah.
What happens to me is that I don't know if I always did it that way, but I have my prayer time before I have my, you know, to do devotionals or, you know, read scripture at all. I feel like I have to, like, I won't do it unless I had my prayer time.
Yeah.
You know, so like, cause I, you know, mainly because I feel like you need to ask for revelation, you know, I don't want to just read or just listen to a devotional, cause I like to listen to it. Sometimes I'll sit and read it, but most of the time I like to listen to it and I'll like read it while I'm listening to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't just jump in. Like, I have to at least acknowledge God first.
Yes.
Acknowledge him and then ask for forgiveness, you know, just all those things. Like, I don't want to just jump in. You gotta reverence the Lord.
You do.
You gotta reverence him.
Yes,
so,
you do.
You know, it's been, I don't know if I always, maybe I always did, I don't know, but definitely now, like, regularly, that's how I do my time.
Yes.
So I'll have my prayer time, but the Lord will put certain things to pray for, like, for my own, like, growth and walk with him, and situationally, you know. And then as soon as I go to the devotional, that's what the devotional is saying.
Yes.
Like every time.
Every time.
The devotional always piggybacks off of my prayer time.
Yes.
And I'm like, Lord, you really are revealing things to me.
Right.
You know, I can tell because you're reiterating it.
Yes.
Like, my goodness.
We don't even get a chance to get to what he's reiterating. It's like, all right, Lord.
Right. I know. Stop eating it's chicken.
All right. I get it. Like, take it easy on the fried chicken.
Stop eating chicken. I told you to pray. I told you the first time that happened to me, which it wasn't even in the same context, was Ecclesiastes 3. Back when I was years ago, this might have been 20.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, this might have been like 20. Well, you know what? And when he says, when you seek me, you will find me if you search for me with all your
heart.
You could
have stopped right there, Chelsea. I just put it together. But yes, because I remember what you said.
Yeah, yeah.
But tell the people, Chelsea.
No, because I asked our previous pastor, after a Bible study, I said, how do you know when the Lord is speaking to you and it's not just what you, like you talking to yourself,
right?
You know, or just what the world says or whatever. And he said, you know, nowhere in the Bible does it actually tell you how to confirm that. But he said, in my own personal experience, God always confirms things to me in threes.
Yeah.
And so after that, but it's like, but I was already in a posture of, Lord, I want to hear from you, you know, which is why I asked the question.
Yeah.
So then, shortly after this, I was getting ready for work, and I used to watch TBN while I was getting ready for work.
Holiness.
And
still right. Holiness is still right.
And this might have been, I definitely was in my very early 20s. We weren't engaged yet.
Young and holy.
Yeah. Like, yes. I might have been, you're so funny. But I might have been like 22, something like that.
Sexy.
So I'm getting ready for work, and the preacher was preaching on Ecclesiastes 3.
As that is a given.
And then I get into the car. And I drive around the corner. Now, I had been living in this house for like a good 4 years.
Yes.
And I had never seen this vehicle before because I wouldn't notice that. You noticed that license plate. And it was parked like as soon as I turned the corner. It was the first car.
Right.
Like, so, yeah, I literally turned the corner from my street and there's a license plate. It was ECCLES3.
Yep.
And I was like,
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was purposeful.
All right. Yes. And then I get to work, and my coworker was a Christian. Love her, Julie. And she says, yeah, I was listening to the radio this morning. I was listening to this sermon, and he was preaching from Ecclesiastes 3. And I was like, all right, fine. You know? Not like that. But I was like, dang, Lord.
Yes.
But ever since Pastor Bogan said that to me, that has been my life experience three times. Like clockwork.
Just like that.
And that's not like, I don't know if that's biblical. I don't know if that's a pattern in the Bible with people.
It is.
Or
maybe. Yes, it is.
Is
I think
it?
So. I don't think it's necessarily scriptural. But God's number is 3.
Right, right.
And he likes there to be witness.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yes.
Yeah, that was amazing. But yeah, that's the first time that that noticeably happened to me, where like I saw him reiterating something, like trying to get my attention and make sure I know that it's from him and that he's trying to tell me that.
Yeah.
And that it sticks, you know? But yeah, my devotional time is a whole nother thing where I'm like, I pray. And it's like it is something meaningful because it's like, wow, like the Holy Spirit is really guiding my prayers to be in line with the will of God. Like I'm praying for what God would have me pray for, because then I go to my devotionals and like almost every day it's crazy. Like almost every day. It's like, man.
Yeah. Seek and find, man. The Lord, he's, you know, he's always been longing for people that just want to be with him.
That's it.
So he's like, you know, if you want it. You got it. Like, I'll give you me.
Yeah.
If you want me, you can get me. Like, I'm not elusive. I mean, he is elusive.
Because I already
chose
you. You just have to choose me.
Yeah, you just got to choose me. He's hard sometimes, but not always. And, you know, just being able to sit there. And I'm sitting there, Chelsea, like, the same experience with, like, the confirmation. And it's like, a lot of times, that the confirmation, it can come from people that's close, but then it can kind of come from anywhere. But you know, like for me, when I've said like, well, I feel like the Lord's calling me to preach, and just having that constant confirmation, you know, of people, you know, people tell you for 15, oh yeah, you,
the point where no one's shocked,
and nobody's shocked. It's just like, all right, well that's fine, but you can't always take that. But then, you know, I asked my father, and it's like, oh, okay, well, Dad, my father, who's a pastor, and say, well, hey, man, well, how do you know it's supposed to be this or that? And the stuff he says to me, and I'm like, oh. He's like, well, you know, he doesn't talk like that, but he's like, well, you know, if you find yourself preaching to yourself a lot or preaching to other people, he's like, yeah, you might, it might be, you're supposed to be preaching. And I was like, ah, yeah, check.
Right.
Check.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
You definitely preach even when it's not time to preach.
Yes, you be out here just preaching. It's like, it's not even time for that, sir. And preaching to myself, forget about it. I'm going over sermons in my mind. Yes, oh, yeah. You know, and they ain't got no, you know, they ain't even sermons. It's just me preaching to myself of what something that should be said.
Right.
Oh, man. But then, you know, I finally have that confirmation of, you know, where he just puts it in my heart to start writing down the structure and really just a sermon to nobody. Just hey, write this sermon. I was just like, oh, okay. And that, in that moment, the Lord was like, hey, you know, this is it.
Yeah.
Preach. And, you know, preach this too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's messing up. Like, the springs are starting to, like, be, like, pokey.
Yes.
In his mattress because of him jumping like that.
Yes.
He's also getting taller, so, like, he's, like, his waist is, like, coming up over the side.
Slap. Slap, slap.
He knows he's not supposed to. Let's pray for the best here. So I was going to take him out, but then I was like, eh. Like, he really does need to just learn to lay down.
Sure.
Taking him out is just going to defeat the purpose.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but confirmation is a beautiful thing, so...
Amen.
But what is our topic today? Today is actually our season finale, everybody. Woo-hoo. People who are better at doing podcasts would have said that in the beginning, but I didn't. So, but well, yes, yeah. Season finale, season 3.
Yeah. You know, it's really on my heart to just, well, backstory, because that's how I roll.
That is how you roll.
That's how I roll. I like people to understand things. I like you to know where it came from.
Yeah, you need to know.
Yeah, but I talked to a friend a few days ago, maybe like last week, and she was talking about how growing up her mom wasn't around, but that her stepmom was, you know, very sweet, very integral, and her mom, you know? And it made me think about how throughout my life I had so much family that wasn't like my blood relatives, that really took me in, you know, and really just treated me like family, and to where this day when I see them, like I went to a concert recently for my high school, the high school I went to, the concert choir.
Yeah.
And one of my best friends directs the concert choir at our high school now, and his dad was there, and he saw me, and he's just like, oh, my girl. Mm-hmm. And we're hugging and everything, and you know, and he's like, I gotta take a picture with you and show my holla. You gotta bring them kids over. How them kids doing? But literally just family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where like there's so, and I thought about too how my stepmom, when she first found out she had diabetes, we were in church service. I believe that because my dad was an assistant pastor at the time. And I believe that our pastor was like not there for some reason. So my dad was like officiating everything. And my stepmom passes out in service. And that was like how she found out she had diabetes. But yeah, she passes out in service. And I'm like eight, freaking out. I'm like screaming because she's like, you know, that was traumatizing. And then the EMTs come, she's on a stretcher, just not even awake, right? And they're wheeling her out, and I'm like trying to go after her, people grabbing me and stuff. And one of my very best friends, her mom, our families were very close, and she picked me up and she took me back to the seat she was in, and she held me like a baby, and she was just, you know, rubbing my hair and everything. Shh, it's okay. And, you know, to this day, she calls me daughter and she calls me her little songbird. And I just think about all these people that, you know, were just family, you know, and by no obligation, by no sense of responsibility, but just out of choice, you know, and just out of love. And it made me think about marriage and how, you know, people say like, oh, well, why would you get married? Like, you know, that just, because then you, somebody chose you. Like, how special is that? That somebody chose you. And they are committed to that choice and they don't have to. And we touched on that last week about like, you don't have to, you know, but like, I just really wanted to elaborate on that because it even just reflects on God. He doesn't have to. At all.
Right.
But he chose us, and that's why it means so much more even to him when we choose him.
Right.
He's not making us. There's no responsibility. There's no requirement, no law. But you chose me. That is such a much more meaningful relationship. Not saying that your blood relatives aren't also wonderful, but it's something else when somebody chooses you. And marriage, I think, is the only one where you're so committed to that choice that you chose to go in front of everybody and tell them and go before the Lord and make a vow. Well, make vows, you know, and really just, you know, just put some things, you know, risk some things. You know, that's just very meaningful.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, when I actually, when you said the word chosen, I started, the first thing that came to my mind was Mary.
Mary, Mother of Jesus.
Mary, Mother of Jesus. Like, Mary, I've chosen you for this specific task. And it's not one to be taken lightly. And that what's going to come from it is literally living water. A fountain of living water. Something that does not run out. A fountain that's ever flowing. That's what comes out of you. It's like we don't always think about like the choice. So much as we kind of look at the byproduct, and in certain respects, a lot of times we I feel like we don't consider the process by which things came into play. In that we don't think about, hey, how did you get here? You know, I'm here. I am. I'm 19. Well, when I met you, I was 19, and you were 19 as well. Here we are, 19 and 19. You don't think, how did you get here? You don't like, you don't even think that. And in God's heart, he's like, he literally says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. But I chose you so that you could choose me.
That's it.
And now it's like, wow. It's like, we don't always consider like it took a lot for you to get here. And the fact that you are being chosen at this moment is like, there was a lot of things that had to actually transpire to align this. Like it's like chosen is divine. It's like the divine assignment, like divine encounters. It's like, Mary, I've chose you for this moment.
That's,
you know, Jacob, you know, you encounter an angel of the Lord. Like, I've chose you for this. You're going to wrestle with me. And Abraham, you know, I'm choosing you for this thing.
And and that's it, because Abram at the time, you know, there was risk involved, you know, leave your homeland and go to a land that I will show you. I have no clue where I'm going. Not I'm packing up my whole family.
Yes.
Servants, the whole camp.
Yeah.
and people probably sitting here talking about you. This don't even make no sense. Why would you do that? Mm. You know, it just what?
Yes.
And like, and you're putting things in jeopardy. Your whole family has to go with you and be wandering with you. You don't know where you're going. You don't even know this God. Right. This is a foreign God to him.
Right.
He just randomly hears God's voice. Mm-hmm. They were worshiping other gods.
Yes.
Before this.
Correct.
And all of a sudden he's like, they like, who did you even hear from, sir? Who's that? Mercy.
Hey.
Who's that?
Who's that?
Yes. Telling you to go. Oof. And it's like, could you imagine going to your wife and saying, I heard a voice, and she like, are you schizophrenic?
Yes.
You know, like, what voice?
He's troubled with the voices.
Right. They, the way they talk
to me. They don't have a name for it yet.
Yes. Oh my goodness. But like, could you imagine? But like, but he chose God. He chose him. He said, okay.
Yeah.
I choose to follow you, and I choose to be obedient, and I choose to trust you. Mm. And I'm gonna, yeah, there's other things that I now have to put into question that are kind of hanging in the balance.
Yeah.
But what matters is that I chose you, and whatever comes with that, I'm okay with.
That, and that, I think that is the key that can be missing. Like, being chosen means that you take also what comes with it.
That's it.
Because being, everybody wants to be chosen.
Mm.
But it's like, everybody's, many are called, few are chosen. It's like, let's be clear. When God was talking to, who was he talking to? I don't even remember who he was talking to now. I want to say Elijah or Elisha, where he says, I have another, what does he say? 7,000? Prophets that have not bound to down, they haven't,
yeah, haven't bowed to Baal.
I don't remember who that was now.
Me either, but I know what you're talking about.
It's like, no, but right now I'm choosing you. I called them too.
Mm.
They're called, but here with the choice, it always entails something that's is going to be more meaningful.
Yeah,
because there is no account of the 7,000.
Mm.
There, matter of fact, because I was in 2 Kings, I told you that the verse I that the Lord sent me to, it was in Kings too, which is like, it was in, I want to say 2 Kings. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
2 Kings, some chapter. I want to say 18:20. Either 1 Kings chapter 18:20 or 2 Kings chapter 18:20. And he's saying, well, okay, well, let me go through the story. Why not? We're Christians. Because Ahab, in the chapter prior, we meet Obadiah. Obadiah, I assume this is the same Obadiah, because, you know, I don't know, but I think it is. I think it's the same Obadiah that wrote Obadiah. And Obadiah, like, he serves Ahab, and he's over Ahab's house, and they're trying to find water or grass for the mules and the horses. And he says to Ahab, Ahab says, hey, you go that way, I'll go this way. And Ahab goes his way, and Obadiah goes his way, and he runs into Elijah, who literally Ahab has been looking for in every nation, trying to find him, can't find him.
Mm-hmm.
And Obadiah is just on his way, and because the word of the Lord came to him and said, hey, go down to Ahab, go talk to Ahab. And so Elijah just pops up, and Obadiah runs into him. But Obadiah is the one who he hid 50 prophets of the Lord, 50 priests, in cave. He hit 100 of them, 50 to a cave. Like, that's it. But then you have Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
Whole backstory. Mm-hmm. Whole back and forth. Like, hey, Elijah did this, Elijah did that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have, oh, but there's 50 in a cave over there. All right, cool. Lord still loves these people.
Oh, yeah.
But to be chosen, it bears a weight.
Yeah.
That, you know,
and really it's because they both were chosen.
Right.
Obadiah was also chosen.
Correct.
But it's the greater. I mean, what do they say?
Greater responsibility, or great power comes great responsibility.
Yes.
To him much is given, much is required.
Yes, that's it.
Yes.
You know, sometimes what you're chosen for bears more weight than what someone else is chosen for. And it's not that it's more important. Or, you know, because whatever Obadiah did was also important.
Right.
And praise God for him. But, you know, however, it's the people that are in the public eye that have more to uphold Mm-hmm. You know, there's more scrutiny involved there. Therefore, there's more responsibility.
It's true.
Because you're walking around in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
And if you're going to be walking around in the name of the Lord, you got to uphold the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
And that means you can't be out here.
Yes.
Fumbling as, you know, like it's not going to be your sins can't be as secretive as someone else's, you know, yes. because people are literally scrutinizing you looking for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the devil is now trying to take every opportunity, because with public praise could also come public disaster.
Certainly. Chaos.
You know, so it's like, yeah.
Yeah, because, yeah, being able to store it, and you think about that in your marriage, it's like, whew, great. The greater the marriage, the greater the responsibility.
Yeah.
Of stewarding it.
Yeah.
And for God, His definition of greater and ours is actually two different things.
It is.
Because great comes with allure and fanfare and, you know, things that people would applaud.
Right.
Which and applaud in a way where they would praise you. But for God, greatness is the equivalent of service. I remember my Uncle Bob, and it's really my father's Uncle Bob. His wife had dementia, my Aunt Gladys. Who, if I'm not mistaken, and it's actually hard for me to remember which one is actually, you know, because when somebody's an uncle and an aunt, somebody's actually your aunt or uncle, and the other person is married to them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I actually don't remember who was who. But
okay.
But I, in my mind, I actually feel like Uncle Bob was not the one who was related.
Oh, okay.
Which it actually makes it even more astounding, because, you know, Aunt Gladys had ended up having dementia, and he just stayed there. Took care of her,
yeah,
every day, you know, until she eventually passed.
Mm-hmm.
And to God, that's greater than book tours.
That's it. Like, that's it
to Him.
That, the least of these.
The least, here's the key. It's like, you know, and people would look at you crazy if you didn't do it. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Ain't nobody coming to.
They ain't gonna do it for you.
The news ain't coming.
Yeah.
People are gonna be like, oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
But that's so nice does not pay rent.
Right.
And that's so nice does not, you know, fix the problem or the issue or the illness. It's like, no, every day you still have to tend to it.
Oh yeah.
And that's your wife.
Yeah.
But that vow and that commitment, and God looks at that and says, that's it.
Mm.
That's it. Because this is how God is with us.
Yeah.
We are, for lack of better terms, demented.
Wow.
We are lacking something mentally and spiritually and physically that cannot be restored sometimes on this side of heaven.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, even if it is restored, it's like we can lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And God is saying, I have to be that person who's there and is always taking care of you.
Yeah.
Always. And I chose you for this.
You know, no, a dementia, saying that, like, that is a picture of God caring for us. And I mean, He always likens us to sheep and children.
Mm-hmm.
And people with dementia is like very similar to children.
Right.
Like babies, you know, where it's like, you're just doing stuff that's like unsafe and doesn't make sense and rejecting people that are trying to help you and all of that type of stuff. And
that's right.
It's very similar. And to think that if we really were to realize what this looks like, because the same way you tell, and I would even liken it to, you know, like our son has autism and there's certain times we tell him, like he kept trying to get in the oven. Literally get inside the oven. We love him, but what are you doing? Like, son, we don't want you to hurt yourself. And it's like, you tell him, like, it's gonna burn you, it's gonna hurt you, stop. And it really at times seems like, even apart from autism, kids are just trying to kill themselves. Like,
yes.
For them first like 2 years, it's like, bro.
Mercy, God.
My goodness. You know, but like, that is literally what it looks like to God.
Yes.
That's
Amen.
Literally what it looks like to Him.
Yes.
It's like, man, they keep trying to kill themselves. What are you doing? Like, that's crazy. Funny. Like, you're a nut.
Yes, they are nuts.
You're a nut.
A nut.
Like, what are we doing here?
I always thought, you know what, Chelsea? Because I, in my mind, like, I had the workings of being a preacher. And I always thought to myself that if I was going to preach, that the first thing I would preach is why God told us to be like a child.
Mm.
I always thought that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think about, well, why does God want us to be like a child? You know, well, not because he wants you to try and kill yourself on the regular. That's one of the things he doesn't want. But, you know, children love loyally.
Mm-hmm.
Children are complete.
And they trust without, they trust, they right. blind trust.
Blind trust. Blind, not blind obedience, but
no.
they blindly believe anything you tell them.
It's true.
If I, you know, if I tell my daughter, hey, you know, I'm Superman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you go to sleep at night, I actually go out and I go save the world and I just mm-hmm. come back to you. And then, you know, she'll get up like, hey, guys, my dad's Superman, you know.
Yep.
And, you know, at night when I'm asleep, you know, he goes out and he saves stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. you know. Then they'll be like, no, he isn't. Uh-huh. Yes, he is.
Like, they're Bobby yes. Boucher. It was like, a Boucher.
You can't change a child's mind about
cannot.
Their parents. It's like they have to come face to face with it. You're not going to change my mind.
Not at
my
all.
My parents are going to have to tell me that, you know, what
it is.
What
the
you,
medulla
it is,
oblongata.
The
okay. Mama said.
Mama said. Yes, and but the main point I was making is that children are, at least in my mind, I never mm-hmm. actually made this point.
Mm-hmm.
Children are. Is that a phone?
Yes, my phone.
That's funny. That's never happened before on this podcast.
That's true.
No one has ever called.
That's true.
What are the odds?
Well, at least not when it's on ringing, not in my hand or something.
It's very funny.
Where I could catch it.
We just out here. Shout out to the finale. But the main, but and that fact that they trust blindly, but it was my main point to drive home would have been the fact that children are the only species or people that in a matter of years, they are unrecognizable based off of transformation.
Wow.
In that, if there was a child here and I picked him up as a baby and said, hey, baby, what's your name? My name is, you know, Jimmy. Great, Jimmy. If I came back 10 years, it didn't matter if you showed me, I would never be able to identify
What
baby was that?
Yeah.
And in that, God wants us to be transformed so that we are, that we don't look anything like we used to be at all.
Or think or talk or anything.
To where...
Oof.
You would be unrecognizable to people who've known you, who've held you, who've touched you, that you are a completely different person. Yes, ma'am.
I just raised my hand, y'all. No, because Corey and I, last night, we read about the stoning of Stephen.
Oh, yeah.
And at the end of that scripture passage, it said, and Saul was there.
And he was holding the coats.
They gave him his garments, and it said what they did was acceptable to Saul.
Yes. Oh, yes, Chels.
And I told Corey, I said, do you know who that is? And she said, yeah, I know who that is. That's Paul. And I'm like, mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I said, did you know that he was killing Christians and that, woo, help me, Jesus, because this gets me worked up.
Oh, yes.
You know, that he was killing Christians and that, like, he thought that when he was standing right there when they killed Stephen and he thought they were doing a good thing. And she was like, what?
Yes.
And I'm like, didn't he change so much?
Yes.
And she, you know, I said, you were going to see that because, like, you know, soon after this, we're going to be reading about him and hit to the point where you need a new name.
Yes. Yes, Lord. You definitely going to need a new name.
I'm about to run.
Pasol. Pasol. Because this man over here.
Ooh.
Chelsea. And that thing struck me, too.
I'm about to run.
It struck me, Chelsea, is that number one, I told you, since the Lord was working, it was day 21 of my seeking the Lord that he had me to write a sermon. That was unprompted, and that's where it started.
Mm-hmm.
It was day 21. That's God, you know, God's perfect number of 7 and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And some, but since then, I just go down there and it's like, oh, here's another sermon. Here's another sermon. And it keeps like putting these words in my heart.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was one of them. And wow. it was something, you know, along the lines of consenting to killing, consenting to what's killing us. And the fact that we'll hold the coat of what's killing us.
Mm.
And that we're closer than we need to be to some things.
Yeah.
And that daggone, you know, Stephen is like, he's the goat.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's sitting there with like, they you know, he's chose to be a deacon.
Yeah.
And it literally says, like, here's the names of the deacon. You know, such and such and such and such and such and such and such. And Stephen, who was full of the Spirit.
Ooh.
It's like, okay, so he's different than these guys.
Wow.
Like, he's a deacon. But no. But this guy, he's full of faith and the Spirit of God.
Wow.
And it says it's a huge picture of God, and part of it's the emphasis because obviously he's a martyr, but it's like, well, let's take time. He's not just a martyr. Like, this is somebody who's full of faith and the Spirit of God. And, you know, this guy, and I always thought it was interesting too. I don't know. Hold on, Jesus. Hold on, Lord. Hold on. Uh-oh. Because Christ, and I've only just thought about this right now, because Stephen, he goes back to Moses and he comes up in history and says the mm-hmm. way Moses mm-hmm. did such and such, and then such and such did such and such.
Yeah.
And he gets to Solomon and he stops.
Hmm.
And I wondered why he stopped at Solomon.
Huh.
And I don't necessarily know, because there's a lot more foolishness.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't even get into all the kings, and they were like draw gang city. It was Lou Draws. And but then I read in Jonah is like a type and shadow of Christ. And God, Jesus Christ says about Jonah, he says, if Nineveh was here, he says this, and I'm paraphrasing, he says that the Queen of Sheba will condemn you at the last day. And so will Nineveh. Because when Jonah was here, they listened and repented.
Yeah.
And now one who's greater than Jonah is before you. And then he said, same thing with the Queen of Sheba. This is Solomon.
Yeah.
And he says, one who is greater than Solomon, she will you know, accuse you or you know, condemn you, because she believed that she came from a far ways off,
yeah.
and I'm greater than Solomon.
Mm.
I just put the two together that they both like went to Solomon. Uh-huh. But I don't know. I don't know if that has a tie or not. I don't even know what we were saying from there.
Mm.
I don't know. But Stephen, but he's, you know, where he's sitting there and says, you know, as your fathers resist the Holy Spirit, so do you.
Mm-hmm.
You stiff-necked beings.
Yeah.
And they were cut to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And they gnashed their teeth at him. And then they said, well, we got to kill him.
Because we can't listen to
I can't take this no more. Got to kill him.
Oh, and mercy that we would rather shoot the messenger.
Yes, than listen to
the truth.
Then listen to the message, Chelsea. My God.
And isn't that now just like people that I mean, all throughout history, people killing Christians because they just stop saying that.
Yeah. Yes.
Stop saying that. I don't want to hear that.
It's living proof. It's literally living proof that words can condemn you to the point where you need to kill somebody.
That's crazy.
Like, you're proving to me that it's true.
Yeah.
Because words don't mean anything.
Look.
Hey, guys, the sky is actually purple.
Right.
And we should serve the purple God in the sky. People would literally walk by and say, hey, that man's crazy.
Yep, that's all. And write
don't
it off
worry
and go
about
their business.
I say Jesus Christ is Son of the living God. Like, oh, what do you mean?
Don't say that.
Don't say that.
It's true.
It's like,
and you
okay.
know what that is? That is that is Satan.
Yes.
He don't want to hear that.
He don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
At all. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Mercy. Have mercy. But to be chosen.
Yeah.
Amen. It's a heavy weight that comes with being chosen, and that it just comes with responsibilities that, ironically, you don't always know what they mean, especially in God.
Yeah, you don't know what God has for
you.
You
don't know the
half.
Mary, did you know?
Come on now. I had to share that on Facebook because somebody wrote a post saying, like, I hate the song Mary, Did You Know? Because, yes, she did.
She didn't.
Like, she did know because God told her and all that stuff.
Impossible.
And I was like, you missed the whole point of the song, honey.
Missed it. People are too goofy sometimes.
I'm telling you, like, overthinking it. Like, relax. And I reshared the post and was like, I disagree with this.
Literally.
Like, she could not actually fathom what all of that meant. Yes, the Lord told her.
Yes.
But she could not fathom what that actually was.
And Chelsea, would you like me to go? Would you like me to dig deeper?
Go ahead.
I'm going to dig deeper in how you know, because Jesus Christ is God. Really, mm-hmm. really Christ is God. Mm-hmm. Jesus is his body, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. This is where we kind of get things mixed up. Is because Christ is God.
Yeah.
Jesus is his house, mm-hmm. right? So we say Jesus to Christ just as purpose of identification.
Yeah.
But really Christ, you know, whatever, you know what I'm saying? But Jesus Christ is greater than any angel.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an angel that told Mary, mm-hmm. hey, this is, you know, this who this is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Jesus the Christ, literally God in flesh, that told the disciples everything he had to endure.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not understand it.
They still didn't comprehend.
They did not comprehend it. Sometimes they didn't listen, mm-hmm. or they just, you know, they were just daft. Like,
we're all daft.
Yes.
That's what that's what our whole Easter cantata is about.
Yes.
You know, on the road to Emmaus.
Yes.
Where he's appearing to these people and they don't even recognize him. And then on top of that, he's like, who are you talking about? And they're like, you haven't heard that Jesus. I'm sorry, and we're just, it's the fact that they were saying they were upset that the tomb was empty.
Yes.
You're upset?
Chills. We're
lost. Hold on. The women saw an angel that said to him, why are you looking for him? He's raised from the dead like he said.
He's not here.
You're not excited?
Not excited.
Oh, broken. Man. Well, where could he be?
Well, where is he?
Like, it really did seem like y'all a little slow, ain't you?
Listen, just
my goodness.
Slow to believe.
But all of us are, like, if we could really just grasp the fact that the whole Bible was written for the whole human race and that we all are the same, even the children of Israel,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Red Sea splits open in half.
It splits.
You walk across it on dry land, it closes back up on your enemies and drowns them so they can never chase you again.
Yes.
And then you continue into the desert and there's a pillar of cloud and then a pillar of fire. There's manna. There's this. Like, come on.
Day and night.
And they're just, we want to go back to Egypt because God isn't going to take care of us. He's not.
What? Really? That's an interesting play he made there.
Man.
I'm going to save you and save you pretty well at that, but then I'm just going to let you die in the desert. That was the real.
Like, at some point,
that was it.
I need to take care of me because that God thing, I don't know about it. It's like, what are we doing?
And you know what, Chels? Father, forgive us. Because we are just like them.
Yeah.
We're just like them.
We are.
We are no different. Because I can be some of the worst for that, because I'm like, you know, God has made so many ways and always provided what we needed that you would think that you would never have a worry about him providing what
ever
you need.
Again.
But I keep finding myself where it's just like, but what is this?
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah. When God is trying to show you, it's like, you don't need to worry about that.
Have no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall wear.
What
the pagans,
they think about this.
They think about those things, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you.
You see what? The fact that we worry about the adding should really be an indictment that maybe we're not seeking the kingdom the way we're supposed to.
That's it.
Right.
Our focus is not right.
Our focus isn't right. Because now if you put your focus on, hey, how can I further God's kingdom?
Hmm.
It means that the promise is already kept.
Like
it's the if, the if then, you know, the if then is, if you do this, then I'll do that. I shouldn't have to worry about the rest.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's the indictment on, you know what? Maybe my mindset isn't where it's supposed to be.
And you know why? Cause we're not like children.
Right. Oh, fixated.
Come on. No. Because children don't wake up in the morning and wonder where their food is coming from.
Not at all.
Or where their clothes are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Or how they're getting from point A to point B. They know that my dad and my mom take care of me.
Yes.
I mean, under normal circumstances.
Under normal circumstances.
If you're not, you know, struggling.
Right.
You know, even if it's not the most grand.
Yes.
Come on now, because there's people who grew up poor.
Literally, and didn't know.
However, they didn't know.
Right.
I'm reading a friend's book right now, Alienation, Jama Montgomery. What do you call that? Pseudo.
A pseudo is a memoir?
Name. Well, like, oh, she's not her, using her name.
Oh, you know, a stage name, pseudonym or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, pseudonym or something like that.
I definitely was confused.
I think it's Jama Ann Montgomery is her writer's name, but Alien Nation is spelled alien, like an alien from outer space, nation.
Right.
All in one word, one N, just in case anybody wants to look into it, because excellent book. Mm-hmm. But it's a memoir. Right. And she talks about how she immigrated from Jamaica to America. Mm. And she talked about how she didn't want to leave Jamaica. And, like, she was dirt poor. Like, her aunt and uncle were taking care of her. Mm-hmm. And her mom comes over to the U.S. And, you know, really, like, they were well off. Mm. Like, when her mom came to get her and brought her here, like... Mm. They were well off.
Right.
And while her mom was waiting to be able to get her here, like, she'd be giving her stuff that was, like, really nice that nobody else had and all this type of stuff over in Jamaica, mm-hmm. you know. But then when she brings her here, she has this amazing, you know, room and house and yard and all these things and all the opportunities. And she's like, I want to go home. Wow. Because, like, I'm used to, and, you know, even though we got dirt floors in our house, ain't no floor.
Yeah.
And I'm going to the bathroom in an outhouse. Mm. You know, like, literally, like, we're poor.
Right.
And I want to go home because that's all I know. But I was well cared for. Right. I wasn't ever wondering where everything came from. And that's interesting, too, that children don't put they don't have expectations or, like, demands on what the provision looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, what they're given mm-hmm. is their portion.
Yeah.
And that's all they know.
Yeah.
And they're satisfied with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they're used to. And you find all these adults and everything that grew up poor and now they got money and they do this and they do that. But they still want to go get a pack of oodles and noodles and put a pack of tuna in it.
Yeah.
I still want to do it. Get me a pack of oodles and noodles. Yes. And I wasn't poor, but my mom worked in a prison, so we found out about that. But the hookup is what it's called. You get a pack of oodles and noodles. You put some tuna in it, mayonnaise and hot sauce. And it's good.
Yikes.
It's the hookup. But like, you know, you find yourself wanting, I still want to go back to, like, I lived in the city in like a poor area. Mm-hmm. I wasn't poor, but I lived in a poor area, and I still want to go back to Camden and go to Broadway and get some chicken fingers with some French fries with salt, pepper, ketchup, and hot sauce. I still want to.
Getting it in.
Okay.
Yes.
Because and I want to what are those called? Tahitian treat. Okay.
Yes, you definitely do.
And I want a Tahitian treat.
Yes, ma'am.
And I would go back in a heartbeat,
can
you
I
know?
Get a sip of that.
I miss corner stores. You know, but it's like whatever that provision, whatever you're accustomed to, it's like that is okay. That's my life and I'm content with it and I'm loved and I'm cared for. All my basic needs are met.
Yeah.
And I don't worry about where it's coming from and I don't worry about what it looks like.
Yeah.
You know, and it's if we could really be like that with the Lord, I was saying that about family too, you know, because you can look at it and say, oh, you know, as far as my friend was concerned, like, oh, my mom wasn't there. Or you can look at it and say, and the Lord gave me another mother.
Right.
You know, the provision, like it doesn't have to be so fixated on how we wanted it to look and what we wanted it to be, but that it happened.
Yeah.
And that it happened the way God decided to do it. And that somehow in his grand plan, it's the best way.
Wow. That's amazing. That's what it means to be chosen.
Yeah.
Contentment comes with choice. Choice comes with contentment.
Mm.
It's like you're going to have to be content because the thing he's chosen you to do, a lot of times, all the time, we're not ready for it. And now he has to grow us into it,
mm-hmm.
which means in order for him to grow us into it, we have to be content with the stage we're at.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you're either reaching back to a stage prior or you're reaching forward to a stage that you're not ready for.
Right.
But if you can actually be content where you are, the choice that he made, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the beautiful thing where you just stand and say, the Lord is good.
Amen.
Yeah. Even, you know, and I've been saying that for a long time. And you just look around and, you know, you actually feel that way. It's like, wow, God, you've really been good to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because he has.
He has.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you have anything else to say? Because I was going to leave it there.
That's fine.
That's good. Well, we're going to leave it there, everybody. That's beautiful. It's been a great, great series or great season. And it's been a blessing sharing, you know, at the end of the day, your marriage is going to be best held up if God is literally in the center. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like a cliche, but it's not. It's actually the truth. Like if everything is everything is anchored to Christ and your life and your exploits and your plans, always anchor it to Christ. There's a solid rock.
Hey,
it's literally a solid and sure foundation.
The wise man yes. built his house upon.
It would be very wise. It's not wise of you to same. Build your house upon Christ.
Because the storms will come.
They will come. Amen. And in those days, the foundation needs to be the sure one.
Yeah.
No, not the seashore, but the sure foundation.
Amen.
And in that, you will find success, not only in your life, but in your marriage.
Yeah.
So we love you very much.
Indeed.
I love you, honey.
Love you, too.
And we will see you next time.
Oh, follow us on TikTok.
Oh, follow us on TikTok.
We're going to be doing some TikTok reels, really getting more into that yeah. in between seasons. So better than one. I believe it's just better than one on TikTok.
Definitely.
Or was it BTO Marriage Podcast? Either look for BTO Marriage yeah, Podcast or better than one on
well,
on TikTok.
It's on the YouTube video, so you know.
Oh, cool.
We have
yeah.
links on. Actually, I'm oh, sorry. Yeah, we have
yeah,
links
yeah.
on
the
everything.
Reels will be on YouTube too.
Yeah, links are on everything. It's on.
Yeah,
the,
y'all will find us if you follow us on YouTube. That's definitely better than one on YouTube.
Yeah.
And you know, so the reels will be coming up there too. But you know, TikTok, mm-hmm. Facebook. YouTube, whatever you want to do.
All that.
All right.
All right.